You're listening to JD and Tammy Rucker as we deliver the NOQ report, or as we like to call it, the NOQ report. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy.
U.S. officials are hiding data, but other nations are revealing the truth, and that truth is that lockdowns are actually more deadly, proving to be more deadly, scientifically demonstrating that they are more deadly than COVID-19 itself. We're seeing this from Canada. We're seeing this from multiple nations in Europe, in Asia. They're saying, hey, wait a second. When we actually look at the numbers, when we look at the causes of death, what is making death tolls rise in places where they are rising, and that's not everywhere, by the way. If you compare the 2020 numbers to other numbers from past years, you will see that in many cases, the death tolls overall for the nations are not rising. More deaths are being attributed to COVID-19, but conspicuously very few are being attributed to COVID-19 lockdowns. We'll be talking about that today. Today's going to be very controversial. Show, I can tell you that. No, we're not talking about vaccines, so don't worry. You know, chances of us getting banned for saying something about vaccines, for even saying the word vaccines. Oh, wait, I think I just said it. I did. I said it a couple of times, so we're probably already gone. We're already censored on the big tech platforms. Sorry about that. Good thing I didn't mention voter fraud or Eric Jarmella or transgender supremacy, climate change, hysteria, anything like that. Those topics would definitely get us busted. No, we're not talking about those. We're talking about how, why cultural appropriation, why they say that's bad, but gender appropriation, not bad at all. As a matter of fact, that's good. As a matter of fact, that's ideal. That's woke. We'll also be talking about a story that came out a couple of days ago. Now, Ohio Ford has announced that they are taking a good chunk, nearly $1 billion worth of business that was supposed to go to the Ohio plant, and taking it down to Mexico. There's a very obvious and important reason why this is the case, why they're risking lawsuits, battle with the very, very powerful United Auto Workers Union. They have their reasons, and it's a sad reason, but it's true. Lastly, we will be talking about China. Oh, wow. I don't know if you guys watched the opening volley between the Biden administration and Xi Jinping's envoys travel to Alaska to do some diplomacy with the new regime here in America. It didn't go very well for us, America. It's actually pretty embarrassing. And we'll be talking about that. But first, quick shout out to Freedom First Network. It's where you'll find us. Okay. FreedomFirstNetwork.com. Strongly encourage you to check it out. The site, I promised this a month ago, and for 2 months before that, I'm going to go update the site. I haven't been posting there very often, always posting on knockreport.com. I'm still posting at knockreport, noqreport.com, just as always. But now we are posting a lot more, everything pretty much at freedomfirstnetwork.com. Also, shout out to Locals. We are putting all of our content for the sake of posterity, for the sake of community. We're putting all of our content at ffn.locals.com, stands for Freedom First Network. .locals.com, Foxtrot, Foxtrot, November. You can find us there, find all of our stuff there. We're on Rumble, Brighteon, BitChute. Okay, we're on the places that don't, you know, we don't have to look at our content and say, I wonder if this will be against communist standards for this particular platform or that particular platform. Big tech doesn't like us. Okay, we've been canceled so many places. I've had my Twitter account taken down, not my personal one. Don't know why. I don't censor myself there. Probably should have been taken down long ago, but our Knock Report Twitter account was taken down. Spotify, they banned us. They didn't just ban us. They actually proactively went out to other podcast services and said, these guys are blacklisted. Don't let them on. We actually got kicked off of two others. Transistor and Captivate. Striking a nerve. Our Facebook page has been just demolished. Okay, it used to be pretty strong. Now it's not. Had one of Freedom First Network's YouTube channel gone, banned. Strike three, we are out, and so be it. Okay. My Knock Report Facebook or YouTube channel is still up. The Freedom First Coffee face or YouTube channel is still up. We're not going to be posting everything there. We're not going to be building that community. If you're watching us, if you're one of the eight people watching us on YouTube, just understand we're probably not going to be there very much longer. And the same can be said about Facebook. Look, Facebook's going to ban us at some point. They've already suppressed us. They've already taken our numbers down. There was a time, you know, just a couple months ago where we could expect our videos posted there to get hundreds of thousands of views. Today, not so much. Today, we're getting hundreds of views. But, you know, again, we've always said from the beginning, over a year ago, we started saying, look, we're not going to put all of our eggs into the big tech baskets. We're not going to focus on Facebook. We're not going to focus on Twitter and Periscope, which Periscope's going away at the end of the month anyway. We're not going to focus on YouTube. Let's find safe havens, okay? Rumble, Brighteon, BitChute, okay? Even Apple, for all the my problems with Apple Podcasts thus far, you know, knock on wood, pray to the Lord that we don't get banned there, or Pandora, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts. Most of those places have not banned us, but Spotify did. Anyway, I'm sorry. That was a much longer shout out than I'm used to. Let's just get to this story. So I got a couple of articles here, and you know what? This is funny because I see these articles trickling in, and if I was a more, I guess you could say, more focused, you know, not so going off on 50 different directions. If I could just hone in on this, I could have put together a dozen links, okay? A dozen of them just in the past week or so. Links where various countries, various studies, scientists are saying, now, wait a second. Hold on. We're looking at the data and we're determining that it's possible. Now, stay with us on this. Stay with us. It's possible that the lockdowns are actually, the side effects of the lockdowns are actually killing more people than the coronavirus itself. Let's take a look at the first article. This comes from naturalnews.com, one of my favorite sites. I love what Mike Adams and his team are doing over there. I read Ethan Huff's stuff all the time. Somebody, if you guys know them, give them a shout out for me, okay? I'm kind of shy, if you couldn't tell. You know, I don't like to be on camera. I don't like to get my voice out to the real world. Okay, so none of that's true. But still, I've never been able to communicate with Mike or Ethan or any of those guys over there. Just tell them I appreciate them, okay? Knock Report appreciates them. J.D. Rucker appreciates them because they, like us, they tell the truth. Science, it's the lockdowns causing, quote-unquote, excess deaths, not coronavirus. This article was posted yesterday, so late yesterday. It says forcing people to stay at home rather than allowing them to live normal lives is responsible for all the, quote, excess deaths in Canada that the medical and political establishments are blaming on the Wuhan coronavirus, or as some people call it, COVID-19. This is according to leading Canadian national statistics agencies, which released a report indicating that the government's response to the Chinese virus, not the virus itself, is what is killing more people this year compared to previous years. Describing these deaths as, quote, indirect consequences of the pandemic, and I would say of the lockdowns, to be more specific, Stats Canada revealed that, quote, delayed medical procedures, quote, and increased substance abuse due to the lockdowns are both responsible for the death spike being seen all across the country. Here's a quote from the group. It says, in the early months of the pandemic, the weekly numbers of excess deaths and deaths caused by COVID-19 were closely aligned and mostly affected older populations. Suggesting that COVID-19 itself was driving excess mortality in Canada. However, more recently, the numbers of excess deaths has been higher than the number of deaths due to COVID-19. And these deaths are affecting younger populations, suggesting that other factors, including possible indirect impacts of the pandemic, and again, I would say of the lockdowns, are now at play. Stats Canada estimated that in 2020, there were an estimated 296,373 deaths in Canada. This number is 13,798 deaths above and beyond what, quote, experts would have expected had there not been an alleged pandemic. This is about 5% more deaths than expected in that period, according to the report. At the same time, there was a spike all last year in overdose deaths, for instance. Drug users who otherwise would have been involved in substance abuse treatment programs were no longer able to attend their meetings, resulting in unabated drug use that killed many of them. And I would say that it's not just, oh, we can't make it to our heroin meeting. I would say that it's also just the sheer fact that people, when they have less to do, when they're getting handouts from government, or when they're stuck at home, or when they're depressed, or when they're whatever, when normal life is halted and replaced by this fake life that we've been presented with for now a year, that people, particularly younger ones, are prone to turn to drugs. And many times they're prone to turn to too much drugs. Drug overdoses. We reported on the spikes of drug overdoses way back in, I think it was, I'd like to say it was April, but no later than May of last year. We were talking about, look, drug overdoses are already spiking. We had to find these numbers through emergency room calls. You couldn't get the numbers directly. And that's been the standard operating procedure across the board for all numbers in the United States. Why aren't they telling us? Why? I mean, are they scared? And by they, Look, I'm a Trump supporter, but I'm not going to say that the Trump administration did any better than the Biden administration when it comes to transparency of what's actually happening. Do I blame Trump himself? No. I think that, you know, he did what he could do as president, but the bureaucrats, the people who, the Dr. Faucis of the world, they were hiding these numbers. There's an agenda at play here, okay? I know, conspiracy theorist, look, I do not consider, you can call me a conspiracy theorist all day. I do not consider that to be a badge of dishonor, okay? I know you're probably using it, if you're a normie, you're using it as a pejorative. But it's true. These are conspiracies. They are theoretical, so they are conspiracy theories. That doesn't mean they're not true. And if you apply logic and common sense, you'll see, chances are, they are true. Why did we start seeing, in the very early days, we started saying, oh my gosh, look at this. You know, drug overdose numbers based upon, you know, secondary data, because they're not releasing the full data. Based on secondary data, we can tell you that drug overdoses were up like 443%, 400 and something percent. I don't recall the exact number, again, because this was a year ago. This is before it's gotten worse and worse and worse. You can say, oh, but things are opening up. They're getting better, right? Yes, but no. Just because mandates are lifting doesn't mean normalcy is returning. We're going to have to fight for this, folks. We're not just fighting against government anymore. We're going to have to fight the people that love this. There are people, believe it or not, and probably a lot more than you realize, that want to be locked down. They want to be told what to do. They love this. They thrive on authoritarians telling them what they can and cannot do, on giving them money, $1,400, of saying, hey, don't worry, you don't have to pay your rent, of saying, hey, get in line, wait for 7 hours, you'll get some cheese and other food. They want this stuff. I don't know why. I can't imagine why. And I don't think that it would have been possible even a decade ago, maybe 2 decades ago, we'll call it. We'll say 2 decades ago wouldn't have been possible because Americans fought. We wanted to work. We wanted to prosper. We wanted to defend our rights. Things have changed. I know there's still plenty of us out there that do want to fight, that do want to defend our rights, that still want to make America great again. It was a slogan in 2016. It was put into effect in 2017, and they did their best. They tried. They did a lot of good things. But today, that slogan needs to be a way of life. I'm not talking about a way of life. Oh, we need to see what Trump's doing on Gab. I don't think he's on Gab, really. But, you know, I'm not talking about that MAGA. I'm talking about real MAGA. We need to literally do what we must do as American citizens, as patriots, as those who have sworn to defend the Constitution. We must do what we can to make America great again. Things are looking bad. I got a note from somebody, an email. You can always contact me. I'm very easy to find. I've opened DMs on Twitter at JD Rucker. Get a lot of responses there. Same thing with Facebook. I don't go to Facebook maybe twice a month, but still, I, you know, you can find me there. I try to answer all the questions there. And the easiest way to contact me is to go to noqreport.com or freedomfirstnetwork.com. Click the contact buttons, just go straight to me. Easy. And I try to reply to as many of them as I can. Someday we'll get an assistant or an intern, you know, good stuff coming. Oh, I can't wait to use this cup. This is my gender appropriated cup. That's where I story a little bit later in the broadcast. But I want to turn to this other story. This came from March 16th from the Foundation of Economic Education. A great writer over there, Brad Palumbo. Again, anybody knows Brad, give him my shout out and kudos, because he does find some really good stories for FEE. Title is Child Suicide is Becoming an, quote, international epidemic amid restricted pandemic life. Doctors warn the damage we're inflicting on children is too devastating to be waved away in the name of public health. It's quickly becoming an emergency in its own right. And I disagree. I don't think it's becoming, it is an emergency. We are in the midst of an emotional, a psychological, and a developmental emergency for anyone who's not fully developed. And I would say that emergency does extend to a good portion of the population. This is talking about child suicides and suicide rates that we aren't being told for whatever reason here in the United States. The suicide rates are spiking. And when I say spiking, they're far beyond anything we've seen. And it is mostly young people. It is. But it's not just young people. It's across the board. And it's not just here in America. The only reason we know they're spiking is because we see data that's being released in other nations, Spain, Canada. I saw numbers the other day from, it was a place I wouldn't have expected, Brazil maybe. I don't recall, but you know, we're seeing, and it's the same story across the board. Drug overdoses, clinical depression, suicides, skyrocketing. We're not talking about a 10, 20, 30% increase. We're talking about a 4, 5, 600% increase. And that's what's known. That's what's reported. I would say it's possible that we're seeing increases in the four digits. In other words, we're seeing as many as 10 times as many suicides, people suffering from clinical depression and overdoses. And none of this even takes into account, as they mentioned in the other article, the fact that people have held back on getting necessary treatments for fear of COVID-19. I'll admit we did it. Okay. We did it. In the very beginning, you know, we had some stuff. This is long, well over before a year ago, when I was actually really concerned about COVID-19, because I didn't know, you know, we didn't have any numbers on it. I just knew this thing's spreading like crazy. This is even before the lockdowns. We had doctor's appointments. I'm like, let's hold off. And to be fair, they weren't necessary. If it was something like, you know, big major stuff, I'm talking about, you know, checkups and stuff like that. So I don't want to, like I said, the main point is that I don't live my life in fear, but I did. I was overly cautious back then. I can imagine other people being the same way. According to this article by Brad Palumbo, billions of people across the globe continue to live under COVID-19 lockdowns or heavily restricted life. And for almost all of us, life amid the pandemic in 2020 was an isolated and difficult year. Yet doctors are warning that children in particular are experiencing grave mental health consequences as a result of the lockdowns, leading to an, quote, international epidemic of child suicides. The Associated Press interviewed Dr. David Greenhorn on the subject, who works in the emergency department at England's Bradford Royal Infirmary. The number of mental health crises he has seen, such as suicide attempts, has gone from a couple per week pre-pandemic to now several per day. That's one doctor. One doctor. Quote, this is an international epidemic, and we are not recognizing it. Some of us aren't. In an 8-year-old's life, a year is a really, really, really long time. They're fed up. They can't see an end to it, end quote. Dr. Richard Delorme heads the psychiatric department at one of the largest children's hospitals in France, and he offered a similar warning to the AP. Delorme pointed out that it is clearly COVID restrictions and lockdowns taking this toll on children that end up in his hospital. Quote, what they tell you about is a chaotic world of, yes, I'm not going doing my activities anymore. I'm no longer doing my music. Going to school is hard in the mornings. I am having difficulty waking up. I am fed up with masks. I could just picture my children when they were younger saying those things. I mean, it would be heartbreaking. Thankfully, older, but still affected. We're all still affected by this. And it's disgusting because the science does. I mean, again, I don't care. You can call me a conspiracy theorist. This is too blatant. And if you're one of those people that does live in fear of COVID, you're not concerned about the COVID lockdowns. You're not concerned about vaccines. You're not concerned about the debt. If you're just, you just like the authoritarianism, you like being told what to do, I don't know what to tell you. I'm opposed to your worldview. We have to snap out of this. Somebody's got to acknowledge, hey, we got it wrong. Fauci got it wrong. The World Health Organization, CDC, they all got it wrong. Lest we forget, these are the same people that said hydroxychloroquine is going to kill you, but lockdowns won't. These are the same people in the media that told you that Russia. And yet you're going to listen to them? I don't understand you. And I blame you. This isn't just government that's doing this. It's also the people that are allowing it. People like you and me, but more along the lines of people like the sheep, like the normies, like the people that enjoy lockdowns. Hey, we got Netflix. That's all we need, right? We got food delivered. We don't need to go outside. We don't need to, you know, virtual education, that's fine. We don't need to go to work to earn a living. Government's going to take care of us. This has to stop. And it has to stop now. And if my voice gets any lower, I'm going to put myself to sleep. So I'm going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about something that doesn't make me talk in such a depressed Eeyore style.
Can you smell it? It's your favorite freshly ground coffee brewing in your favorite cup. If you're anything like me or my family, coffee is essential for our mornings. And even more essential is good quality coffee. Well, Freedom First Coffee is our preferred choice. Made from organically grown beans from Mexico and Peru, that are then roasted here in the USA. So head on over to freedomfirstcoffee.com and choose our Founders Blend in medium or dark roast, ground or whole bean. That's freedomfirstcoffee.com. And make sure you use promo code NOCK, that's N-O-Q, for 10% off your order. And if you really want to be a freedom lover, choose a monthly subscription so you will never be without your Morning Joe. Again, that's freedomfirstcoffee.com.
Well, here's a story that's going to get me banned by big tech. If cultural appropriation is bad, why is gender appropriation acceptable to the quote-unquote woke? This should be a no-brainer, folks, as I take a drink from my wife's pink cup. My blue cup is sitting over there, but she didn't finish her coffee, so I'm going to drink from her pink cup. And I'm okay with that, and we should all be okay with that. Or should we? Should we be concerned? I mean, they say that cultural appropriations are so bad, you know, that if you, there's that girl from, she was the new editor of Teen Vogue. I forgot her name. She used to work at Axios. I think she's had an affair with somebody from White House. I don't know. Anyway, you know, she got in trouble because of old tweets. That's what everybody's getting busted on. Old tweets. Okay. Because she had dressed up at Halloween as a Native American. And there were other tweets in the past, but that was the one, that was the straw that broke the camel's back at Condé Nast. And they let her go. Newly hired one of the most powerful, it still blows me away. If we want to know how things are, you know, what's wrong with our nation, it's the fact that I can say the sentence, Teen Vogue is one of the most powerful publications in America for today's generation, you know, Z, and even generation, whatever, millennials. Teen Vogue, I don't know, man, but that's what I've heard. Crazy stuff, but I digress. We've seen a lot of this stuff happening, okay, with cancel culture, and it's almost always about some sort of cultural appropriation or saying the wrong things about somebody based upon their culture. You know, it's, you get, especially if you're on the right, you'll get canceled immediately. If you're on the left, you know, if you're just whatever, you know, Trudeau or Ralph Northam or, you know, wearing blackface, don't worry about it. You know, we'll yell at you for a bit, but you're fine. Don't worry about it. You know, but if you're somebody else, cultural appropriation of any sort, if you are to, you know, that is not your right, you can't participate in that. That's bad. Now, on the other hand, gender appropriation, that's apparently good. It's superior. Okay. Transgender superiority, or supremacy, I should say, is a thing. We're seeing it all the time. They're taking over. Case in point. Well, I don't have to give you the sports ones. You guys have already seen all those. Okay. Runner goes out there. You know, he was a mediocre runner when he was on the boys team, decides that now he's a girl. And now he's breaking records, state records. You know, you see the pictures of, he's literally running and you could see there's him. And then like way back, there's the pack of girls who were, you know, biological girls that are trying to catch up. We've seen it in that one rugby player, the transgender female. I forgot his name. He's an intimidating dude, all right? I mean, he's like, he could probably pummel me, and I'm not a little guy, okay? Same thing with that one biker guy, you know, cyclist, I guess they're called. You know, I mean, he's just so proud that he's winning all these cycling contests against women. Couldn't compete against men. Couldn't compete against other biological men. He's a mediocre man, but he's a dominant transgender woman. Now, just yesterday, or the day before, we're seeing, as I post on Knockport, trans supremacy hits beauty pageant as biological male wins Miss Nevada USA. Yes, folks. Oh my gosh, I got to cover my face for this one. Here in America, a man born biologically intact as a male transitioned into a female and is now winning beauty contests. You know, there's an overused term, phrase. It's overused. It's been overused for years, but now it's overused because it's literally about almost anything, any piece of news. You can attach the phrase, you can't make this up, because you really can't. Okay. I don't know what to say about this. I don't. Miss Nevada USA, this transgender woman, this biological male, will now move on to, the next one, next pageant, and then they go to Miss USA, I think it is. I don't know, or US, whatever. And then if they win there or qualify there or whatever, then they go to Miss Universe. We could have literally a person who was born biologically male in every physical way who took hormones and had some surgeries, and now all of a sudden this culture, this society today considers them a female. Now, let me ask you this. You know, we'll get to the meat of the subject, but I mean, right there, had to take hormones, had to have some surgeries, had to get this chopped off, this put back on, these expanded or whatever, this shrunk. I don't know the process. But to win a beauty contest after that, isn't that kind of like cheating? I mean, isn't that like kind of like taking steroids and hitting home runs? I mean, this person's natural self, you know, the person that God intended them to be from a physical perspective, could not have won Miss Nevada USA. But by enhancing him, her, it, by enhancing them with hormones and surgeries and nip and tuck and add and replace, and now all of a sudden they're winning beauty pageants. Okay? I'm smiling. I shouldn't be smiling, but I keep thinking, you know, poor feminists, man, they've worked so hard. They've worked so hard for decades. And once again, they're getting beaten by biological males. It's repetitive. They can't have their own things. You know, these biological males have to get out there and say, nope. I know that you guys have trained your entire lives to be the best at your sport, to be the fastest girls in the world, or at least in this county or the city or the state. But me as a mediocre, not me personally, but this person is a mediocre male athlete, you know, grow my hair long, throw them some makeup, and now boom, you know. And then people will say all the time, oh, you know what? You can't say that because science says that transgender women don't have any physical advantages over biological women, which, yeah, prima facie, that's a lie. That is a bald-faced lie. But let's say, okay, let's, for the sake of argument, okay, well, maybe that is true. If it were true, wouldn't the opposite be true as well? Wouldn't a transgender man, who was formerly a biological woman, wouldn't they be able to compete in men's events? Shouldn't they be winning as well? I mean, right? Am I missing something here? If there's no difference, then yeah, somebody should be able to, you know, a girl should be able to just say, okay, you know what? I'm a boy. I'm going to transition to a boy. I'm going to take some testosterone, and I'm going to add things and nip and tuck and whatever. And then I'm going to work out real hard. And then I am going to be a linebacker in the NFL, or I'm going to be a linebacker in college football. No. Okay. I'm going to be a linebacker in high school football. No. No, it didn't work. You know, there's a reason why a few years ago, I'm so proud of our women's soccer team. I don't watch soccer, but you remember a few years ago when they won it all. I don't remember the exact scenario, but it was really cool. Okay. I mean, they were awesome. You know, lots of unity, lots of people. Americans are like, oh, okay, so that's what soccer is, you know, because we don't see too much of it. And no offense to soccer lovers out there. I know there's a couple of you. I married one. My daughter was an MVP in soccer. So I shouldn't really insult the sport. But point being is that I was very proud of that women's team. They were amazing. They were the best in the world. Professional. I shouldn't say professional, but an adult, the best of the best, an adult women's league or team. The best players in America beat the best players in the world. And then later that year, they were defeated by a 14-year-old male local club. This wasn't like the male all-star 14-year-olds of the world, okay? This was like the Dallas soccer club of 14-year-old boys, and they beat him. I'm not trying to insult them. I'm trying the girls' team. Again, very proud of them. They made me proud. They brought pride and increased soccer awareness. And probably did some other things. Now they've gone woke, and I know they're doing all this weird stuff and kneeling and whatever. But at least back then, when I was still young and ignorant and blissful, and there wasn't so much woke culture to deal with, I could be proud because my team won, right? Okay, great. But they lost to the boys' team. There is a difference between men and women. There's a physical, biological, scientific difference between men and women. So when we ask the question, why is cultural appropriation bad, but gender appropriation is great, is ideal? When we look at the two things, what does cultural appropriation do? Okay, if I, as a Asian American, if I like Cajun food, I love Cajun food. Okay. Am I not allowed to like Cajun food? maybe that's a bad, I don't even know what a good example of cultural appropriation would be. If I like rap music, okay, is that cultural appropriation? If I get dreads or, I don't know. I mean, if I do any of those things that are considered to be cultural appropriation by the woke left, who do I hurt? Literally nobody. Nobody. Ask the same question of gender appropriation. Is anyone hurt when biological males start competing in sports, beauty pageants, competing for jobs that require physical assistance or physical abilities? The answer should be obvious, but apparently not for some. We'll be right back.
Big Tech hates us. As of this recording, we've been banned by Spotify, YouTube, and Twitter. And we've had numerous warnings from Facebook. But that's okay. They will not deter us from always focusing on the truth. We will not be beholden to the gaslighters and propagandists. So, where can you find us? Head over to Rumble, Brighteon, BitChute, and other video channels, as well as networks like Gab, Parler, and Minds. But the place where we can really use your help is on Locals. We need 1,000 followers on Locals so we can publish all our content there without limits. Please go to ffn.locals.com. That's foxtrot foxtrot november.locals.com, and follow us. This will help us preserve our content and continue to tell the truth to the world. Thank you to all our listeners, and God bless.
Yeah, I debated whether or not I was even going to do this next story because it should be pretty obvious. But then I started looking at some of the blogs. They're taking the wrong read on this. So I'm going to give you guys the right read. Right now, Ford is in the process of moving their productions of this future vehicle, this next generation vehicle in 2023. They're trying to move it from Ohio to Mexico. It was promised in contract negotiations in 2019 that they would put it at the Ohio plant and invest like $900 million. And after investing, I think $179 million or so, they're like, actually, we're going to move down to Mexico. Okay, it was a four-year contract. It was signed 2 years ago. And the United Auto Workers Union, one of the most powerful unions in the nation, is saying, whoa, 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 you guys are breaching your contract. We are going to fight this. What are you doing? Now, Ford's response to this, well, let me just read you. So this comes from Trish Regan, trishintel.com, says United Auto Workers Union informed workers this week that Ford Motor intends to move a major project worth $900 million out of Ohio to its plant in Mexico. In a letter to members on Friday, UAW Vice President Gerald Karim said the company told the union that it was relocating the manufacturing of a next-generation vehicle to a plant in Mexico. The UAW said the union was not given a clear explanation in that, and that in making this move, Ford was not living up to the commitment made by the factory in its last contract talks. Here's a quote from the UAW vice president. We 100% reject the company's decision to put corporate greed and more potential profits over American jobs and the future of our members. We expect the company to honor its contractual commitments to its membership. And when it fails to do so, we will take action. We are intensely exploring our options at this time. I'm all about keeping jobs in America. I'm not against, it's not like, oh my gosh, they should, just because they're a union, I don't want the workers to be hurt. Okay. I don't like unions, but the workers, they're stuck in the union, right? They shouldn't have to lose out because Ford has made a decision like this. But then again, we have to ask ourselves, why did Ford make this decision? According to the UAW, as part of the four-year contract agreement, Ford committed $900 million for a plant in Avon Lake, Ohio, including the next generation product that was to be added in 2023. Although Ford has not yet directly address the issue. The company did say in a letter to employees earlier in the week that, listen to this carefully, conditions had changed since 2019. Meanwhile, Ford told Reuters that it has invested more than $185 million since 2019 at its Ohio assembly plant. Okay. Now the question is why. Forgot the writer's name. I apologize, but over at the David J. Harris Jr.'s website, DGHJ Media, they asked why, and here's their response. The response of the writer: between Biden's threats of raising taxes, which he will, raising the cost of living, which is already happening, rising gas prices, definitely seeing that right now, open borders, humanitarian crisis. Oh, don't even get me started on that tragedy that's brewing already. Continuing on with the pandemic shutdown indefinitely and extending payments to people to stay home instead of seeking work, the state of manufacturing in America is broken. So from Ford's perspective, and again, I'm not trying to defend them for potentially taking away American jobs at a time when jobs are crucial. I'm not defending that, but I can understand it because they're right. Things have changed since they signed the agreement in 2019. A good chunk of that, and I would say the vast majority of that, is Joe Biden's fault. You might say, oh, but Joe Biden has nothing to do with, he didn't cause the pandemic. No. But notice that Ford wasn't making this move in 2020, right? And they weren't even talking about it. And you can't say, you know, oh, this is something that's just taken them a long time. That's not how Ford works, okay? I've worked with Ford in a previous life. That's not how they work. When they make decisions very quickly. They don't let them linger. As a company, they're one of the fastest moving out there. This decision was not made 6 months ago and revealed now. This decision was made this week, or, you know, within the last 2 weeks at the longest. And the reason that the decision was made is because, not just because of all the things that David J. Harris, his website mentioned, we can all tie it back to one underlying cause. It's the response to all of our problems in the world, all of the problems in America. The response is coming from the Biden administration. With a 100% certainty, I can look you in the eyes and tell you that if President Trump had won, let me rephrase that. If President Trump had not had it stolen from him, to be more accurate, if Joe Biden wasn't installed as the quote-unquote president, with 100% certainty, I will tell you that Ford would not have pulled out. There's a 0% chance they would have, and there's a 100% chance that they did, or that they are going to do it now. The only thing that can stop them is a lawsuit. And the funny part, I shouldn't say funny, it's not funny at all, it's very sad. The sad part is that if the United Auto Workers Union is successful in their lawsuit to block the move, Ford will just scrap it. Okay? They will just scrap the project because they realize with the rising taxes, with the challenges with the workforce, with the accelerating prices of gas, it doesn't make sense to start introducing brand new things here in the next year, which is what this would basically be. And that's 2023, but don't forget they're usually about 6 months to a year ahead as far as model year. So a 2023 project starts in 2022, next year. They looked at the situation, they read the tea leaves, and they said, guys, Joe Biden's probably not going to be president for much longer. Kamala Harris is going to come in there. She's not going to like this. I'm not saying that's what was said. I'm just saying hypothetically. I don't know what the reasoning is. I don't know what tea leaves they're reading. But I do know with 100% certainty that it has to do with Joe Biden as president. And if President Trump had rightfully been kept in office for a second term, this would not be happening. And for every Ford that we're hearing about, we're not hearing about 1,000 more. The only reason we're even hearing about this one at all, number one, it's $900 million. Number two, it's the United Auto Workers Union that is being hurt. Those two factors make it to where this is newsworthy. But there's hundreds of others that are happening. Very similar moves are being made. Companies are saying, we better pull back on this. We better hold off on that. Folks, buddies, friends, If you're looking for answers, I don't have one. Not for this. Not for this. This is above my pay grade. I can't fix the economy. And unfortunately, you know, this isn't something we can protest per se. Can't protest the tax hikes. They're coming. And they won't listen to us anyway. And the regular, average, everyday people, they don't understand that they can fight tax hikes at the city, state, and federal levels. But we never do. We literally never have. Oh, you say the Tea Party did. We did. You know, we went to protest. We were out there opposing this tax, that tax, right? You know, specific taxes. That does happen. But when it comes to a federal tax hike larger than anything we've seen since 1993, people are just going to sit back and wait. I would say that there's not going to be a million protesters out in front of Capitol Hill. And if there were, they would be disbanded. Why? Because razor wire, because QAnon, because conspiracy theory, because AOC felt in danger, because whatever, you know. I mean, they'll find a reason. We're in a very dystopian world right now, and that's here in the United States, and that should concern us all. You know, I have a show coming up. I'm about to go to the next story, but before that, I want to say this real quick. I have a show coming up. It's important. It's one that I want to get right. You know, when I'm going through the news, it's just, look, I can read the news. I can tell you what I think, you know, and yes, as you know, I'm usually right, but I've been doing a lot of thinking, been doing some praying, and my conclusion is that I've been wrong, I guess you could say, in not putting enough emphasis into looking at all of this from a purely biblical perspective. I have a tendency to try to focus on the secular, not out of any, you know, I'm not scared to talk about God. I'm not scared to talk about the Bible. I'm not scared to talk about Bible prophecy or anything like that. Here in a few hours, I've got Erwin Lutzer from Moody Bible Church, Moody in Chicago. The Moody's in Chicago. You know, he'll be on for another time. And look, you know, I think that we, as a nation, as believers, as conservatives, libertarians, just patriots in general, Christians in general, we've got to start looking up more so than we have already. You can say, oh, but I pray every day. Okay, pray more. Oh, but I pray every hour. Okay, pray more. Fast, supplication. And I'm going to try to do my best to do the same thing. We're in big trouble, and this is above all of our pay grades. It's bad. You know, however bad you think it is, it's probably worse than that. Yeah. Let's move on to the next story. You know, it's funny because this show was not supposed to be one of doom and gloom. I promise you it wasn't. It was going to be ranty, but not doom and gloom. I wasn't coming in here to be all like, I was coming in here to be, you know, but instead of, I've gone through what, 3-4 segments now, and it's just like, okay guys, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do. Okay, so it's not really that bad, but you get the idea. Last story of the morning, I should say. You know, some people have actually asked us to do 2 shows a day. Gosh, how do people find the time? But the last story of the morning. However bad you thought the Biden administration's handling of China would be, it's much, much worse. We learned this last night, yesterday, during, you know, their meeting up in Alaska. And it was so funny when I first saw, you know, Jen Psaki and all the Biden administration. You know, it was a huge win because we demanded to meet on our turf. On our home turf, you know, because Alaska is just so intimidating. Yeah, we have the advantage. Guys, this isn't a college basketball game, okay? There's no home court advantage. Okay, I mean, you could say to some extent from a cultural perspective for a long meeting. We're talking about 2 days of negotiations. the Chinese Communist Party wasn't sitting there and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we have to go to Alaska. You know, the only thing they were saying to themselves is, man, isn't it cold there? How many socks should I take? Why would they want it in Alaska? Whatever. Okay. So the administration's opening volley was an international scandal that demonstrates our worst fears being realized. Instead of demonstrating mutual respect before diplomacy behind closed doors could begin, U.S. Treasury of State, U.S. Secretary of State, sorry, learning to read still. It's the lockdowns that got me to where I'm having difficulty reading. U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan struck a tough public chord. It was a huge mistake. Yeah, look, even people talk about how lambastic and how brutal Donald Trump was with his diplomacy. He knew better than to just come out during negotiations and start attacking people. As a matter of fact, we could argue that the whole reason that John Bolton was removed from office in the first place was because he went too hard and heavy in the opening negotiations with North Korea. I mean, he really muffed that one. He's talking about the Libya deal. The Libya deal literally resulted in the leader of the nation being tortured by his own people. And you're going to come in and tell Kim Jong-un, okay, we want you to be the next Muammar Gaddafi. Okay, no thanks, go away. Well, that's what Tony Blinken and Jake Sullivan, that's essentially what they're doing. They came out with insults, opening blow insults. And you could tell the Chinese representatives, they were prepared for it, but they were a little bit surprised that the U.S. would come out like this in public. It's one thing to, behind closed doors, you can get as insulting as you want. But to come out on the day one in the public, this is where you say generic stuff. You don't come out and say, all right, we're against this, we're against that. You come out and you say, look, we have our differences, but we're going to meet here today. And over the next 2 days, we're going to come up with solutions that are mutually beneficial. That'll be beneficial to the world. We're going to address our issues with each other. We hope that we can come to some great compromises and bring our two countries together closer than they've ever been. We want to heal whatever's been broken in the past. You can even throw out a jab at President Trump. He said, we're back now. We're going to correct the errors that have been made for the last 4 years, stuff like that. But you don't come out and you say, okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to, what you guys are doing in Hong Kong and Taiwan and with the Uyghurs and all this other stuff, this human rights abuses. Oh, no, you can't do that. You're embarrassing yourselves. You guys suck. That's basically what Blinken opened with. I'm not kidding. I would say it's a rookie move and an inexperienced move. It's worse than that. It was a stupid move. It was worse than I could have possibly imagined. I didn't think they were going to come out and do well, but I didn't think they were going to muff it literally in the first 60 seconds of the meeting. Whatever your expectations were for how bad the Biden administration would be at foreign relations, particularly with China, you thought, oh my gosh, he's going to be a pawn. Yeah, probably. Oh my gosh, they're going to give it way too much and not get anything back. Yes, probably. We've all thought these things. But to say, hey, here's one bright spot. At least all they've got to do is just get through 2 days of diplomacy and negotiations with the Chinese Communist Party, just 2 days. They couldn't last 2 minutes before blowing it. According to Breitbart, Chinese diplomat Yang Jiechi rebuked U.S. Secretary of State Tom Blinken and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan during a meeting in Anchorage, Alaska on Thursday, citing the Black Lives Matter movement on U.S. human rights abuses. I mean, they pulled out BLM. China BLM slapped the Biden administration in front of the world. I guarantee you there were more people in most other countries that were watching this than there were Americans. I saw some of the CNN coverage. I didn't see what Fox News is doing. I saw some of the MSNBC coverage in replay, and they really tried to spin it as if, oh, the Biden administration being strong where Trump was not. And it's like, guys, you've already done enough damage. Just report the news. And the news is this is really, really bad. The summit was the first bilateral meeting between the two countries under President Joe Biden, who has traditionally been soft on Beijing and has struggled to balance a desire to break from Trump's tough policies with the need for a strong stance. Ahead of the meeting, the White House boasted that it had successfully insisted that the summit happen on home soil. Press Secretary Jen Psaki also promised earlier Thursday that the U.S. would bring up concerns about human rights in China. Look, I'm all for that. Do that behind closed doors. Don't do that in the opening volley. Rookie mistake. Stupid, 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 stupid. And you literally just ruined the whole conversation. You tainted in the first 30 seconds. Like I said, I expected really bad, and it was worse. Worse than I could possibly imagine. But when Blinken spoke of the, quote, rules-based international order and expressed, quote, deep concerns with China's behavior in Xinjiang, Hong Kong, Taiwan, cyber attacks in the U.S., economic coercion toward our allies, Jakey struck back. He objected to what he called a violation of diplomatic protocol, which it obviously, again, I'm not a diplomat, I know better than this, and said the U.S. could not lecture China from a position of strength. Mike Cernovich wrote, for as woke as they claim to be, Biden's foreign policy team has no understanding of the Chinese culture of face. And that's important. You never do what Blinken did here. You don't. I mean, people, you know, there were times when President Trump, Rex Tillerson even, was kind of hard on them, on China. But when Mike Pompeo got out there, he was tough. But he wasn't insulting, especially ahead of negotiations. Ahead of negotiations. You get tough during the negotiations. When you're in front of the press. And that's the difference between, seriously, I mean, listen up. The difference between the left and the right is that the right is playing for leverage, for proper, I guess you could say, protocols when they enter into negotiations. The left is playing for publicity. They want to. This was not about being tough. You get tough behind closed doors. This was about appearing tough, not to the Chinese, because you don't want to do that. You know, again, what Cernovich is saying about face, it comes down to this. You know, when we're talking in public, you have to put on a happy face if you're working with or for or towards the Chinese Communist Party. Happy face. Respectful face. Because saving face is 100% their highest priority. They never want to be embarrassed, especially by a foreign nation. And what Blinken did was attempt to embarrass them by chastising them. He wasn't negotiating at that point. He was literally just scolding them like a schoolmarm. I'm dumbfounded. I am literally dumbfounded by how stupid of a mistake this was. I don't know what to say. You guys know I say whatever I want to say. I don't know what to say here. I'm not even going to. Okay, I will. I'll go on to Town Hall's, a brief version of Town Hall's analysis. It was good. Matt Vespa over there. In first big China test, Team Biden got rolled. And it's painful to watch. It is painful. Team Biden had their first big foreign policy test with China, and they failed. There's no way to spin it. Hold on, Matt. Yes. Watch CNN. Watch MSNBC. They did find a way to spin. Oh, yes, they did. You know, only for the dumb, but still. Even the liberal media is saying the whole meeting in Alaska devolved into anarchy. And yes, there are several reports that are acknowledging this. This meeting is supposedly the one that will determine if President Sorry. I wasn't expecting this. This meeting is supposedly the one that will determine if President depends. It's such a middle school joke. That's why I wasn't prepared. I'm not laughing because it was funny. I'm laughing because, come on, Matt. I mean, really? President depends? Okay. Okay, it's cute. All right. I love Matt Vespa. This meeting is supposed... Let me take a drink of some Freedom First coffee. Pull it together, man. Don't be a blinking. I'm blinking up the reading of this. This meeting is supposedly the one that will determine if President depends is going to meet with Xi Jinping. By how things turned out, I don't think we should even consider it. Why embarrass the United States even more? Secretary of State Tony Blinken just exposed how weak we are in dealing with China. They know it. We got trashed on our own soil. And from the looks of it, we didn't really respond in any way, shape, or form. We got rolled in front of the cameras. Daily Beast even says, and this is the Daily Beast, left wing, very far left in many ways. In his opening remarks, Blinken reportedly criticized China for its treatment of Uyghur minorities, its cyber attacks against the U.S., and its tight grasp on Hong Kong. According to Bloomberg reporter Jennifer Jacobs, Jakey responded by saying the U.S. is the, quote, champion of cyber attacks, and that it has a, quote, deeply rooted human rights problem, including its history of killing Black people, and that the country doesn't represent, quote, global public opinions. The Alaska talks were to be a deciding factor on whether U.S. President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping will be meeting next month, according to earlier reports by Bloomberg. The fiery exchange on Thursday may have put the prospect of that meeting into question. So here's my theory. They need China to be insulted. This wasn't a matter of, oh, don't worry. You know, we're going to make a stupid mistake. I can say a lot of things. You know, I don't know a ton. I'll admit it. I don't know a ton about Blinken. Tony Blinken seems like a smart guy. I mean, he held himself very properly as far as, you know, I didn't like the words, but he seems like a smart guy. Okay. People seem to like him. Why would he make this rookie move? We'll recap, just in case you're not catching up. This meeting, this two-day meeting, is supposed to determine whether or not Joe Biden should meet with Xi Jinping. And they muffed it in an amateur fashion. They muffed it bad, to the point that even the Daily Beast is calling them out for it. Other left-wing publications, journalists, media outlets are calling them out for it. Now, I've been called a conspiracy theorist probably 5 times during this show by about, 10,000 people who hate me who listen. Those of you that like me, I appreciate you. Those of you who hate me and just come here to troll, so be it. Call me a conspiracy theorist. I don't take offense to it. But here's my theory. They blew it on purpose because it's so blatant. This is a message to the world. Hey, the Biden administration can't deal with China very well. We might as well not even have Xi Jinping meet with Joe Biden. And to me, I think that's by design. I think this is a way to say, okay, I guess we can't meet. Sorry. Because they're waiting. I don't know if they're waiting for Kamala Harris. I don't know, what they're waiting for. But there's a reason why Joe Biden is so closely protected, so guarded. I'm not one of the buys into the rumors that he's already arrested. He's already dead. He's just a green screen image. Digitally remastered onto whatever. Okay. I don't think it's deep fakes. Maybe all that's true. I don't know. I just think that he's lost it. He's lost not just a step. He's lost all of his steps. Not one step, two step, five steps. They're all gone. He is in full blown state of of non-mental acuity, of cognitive dysfunction, dementia, they can't have him meet with anyone, especially Xi Jinping. And right now, I think they're trying to hold it together so we don't get nuked, cyber attacked, whatever. I don't even know. I think they're just waiting for the right moment to install Kamala. Trying to get as much as they can done with Joe before he just can't do anymore. Again, call me a conspiracy theorist. And I hope I'm wrong. I want to be clear. I hope I'm wrong. I hope this is just a stupidity, and that this isn't some master plan to hide Joe Biden in his basement again. Because love him, hate him, despise him, not care about him at all, he is still the president of the United States. We might be against him politically, but we still have to hope that he's able to perform his duties. Gosh, imagine Kamala Harris is in the Oval Office. I don't want to imagine it. I don't want to. This is scary. Again, apologies. It's been a doom and gloom episode. Hopefully tomorrow it's going to be rainbows and butterflies. I'll try to get some rainbows, butterflies to bring with me. Lord willing, we will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong, stay safe, and God bless.